This morning on our journey, we're going to take that journey looking at the whole me. You're going to look at the whole me, who you are, how God created you, and how God wants us to understand this me that He created. Now, God created me because He wanted to. God knew me before time existed. Now, that'll get deep with you. But God is spirit. God is not governed by time or space or any other governance. God is God and God is spirit. And God decided that He wanted to create the human race. So, remember this. On the sixth day, Brother Randy, of God's creation, God created first. Think of it this way. Everything was created. Man was the last to be created that God was going to create. Us, the human existence. Why were we last? He created everything to be prepared for us. It's for us. All that you see that exists was created for you. For you individually. For the human race. God did the creating. And God said it's good. So He created stuff for us to eat. He's not going to create the human being before the human being is able to eat, able to take care of himself. So everything's created first. But here's another thing to think about. On the very day that you and I were created out of the dust of the earth, as God says, before that, He created the beast, animals of the field. All of them were created, and then He creates man. Now, here seems to be the trouble with us as human beings. We so often have a beastly attitude, and we act like animals sometimes. Do you ever say that about groups of people? They act like a bunch of animals over there. Look what they're doing. Look how they're acting. Created on the same day. But God created them on that day and then created man. You see, man is the only one of His creation that has the spirit to be able to connect and commune with God. Animals don't. God is over man. Man is over all the creation. All the animals, to tame them, whatever. That's how God created. God created me and you in parts. He is spirit. Therefore, there can be no sin with God. Because God, again, does not have the human existence. He created us because He loves us. And He wants us to have a life. We are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. We are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. A lot of times you'll hear a spirit and soul interchangeable. That's okay. But you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's what we're going to look at this morning. If you look at that design that you have on your bulletin, you will see the breakdown on it. I am going to hit some of that for us this morning. But I'm going to start this morning with the spirit instead of the body. Because what you've drawn out for you, the spirit is right in the center, which is the main control of who you are. Okay? But I want to focus right now on the spirit first over the body. Because of God being spirit. King David. Now, David had a horrible time, folks. He had a horrible time within himself. a lot of things happened in his family, and he had to watch this. He brought so much hurt and pain on himself. He was a rapist. He was a murderer. He was all the things that you and I go against. And God touches his life. And God says that David has a heart after him, a man after God's own heart. And God chose him to be king. But God looked at him, and David, realizing how messed up that he is, here's what King David said in Psalm 139, first part of verse 14. Thank you, talking to God, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Men, women, boys and girls, you're complex. You're so complex, parents understand that we'll never figure the kids out as they're growing. I don't know where he got that. I don't know how that it came about. Must be on his father's side. Complex. We are complex because that's how God created us. Each individual personality is just that. We are individuals. No two ever alike. No such thing. You are an individual created by God. King David looked at himself and he saw, man, am I messed up? Lord, thank you for making me so complex. Because David knew that God was taking over in his life. God was going to use him. Even though all the wrong, all the sin, all the falling away, God was still going to use him. And God was going to bless him. But he had to go through what you and I call life. Folks, quit getting mad at God because something happens to you or in your family. God, why did you let this happen to me? Well, folks, you are a human being and stuff just happens to you. That's the way it is. It has nothing to do. Now, you can live a wild lifestyle and end up getting maimed and broken and all this because of your foolishness. But God says to us, I'm watching over you. I've created you complex. And I want you to understand that you will never understand your complexity until you're here with me and it will be explained to you. Or you're more complex than you think. For one thing, you can never die. Christian, listen to me. Once you said yes to Jesus Christ, you will forever live with Jesus Christ. The individual who rejects Christ, those who say there is no God, will never live with God, but they will continue to live eternally, separated from God in a place called hell. Now, God set it up that way. And as I've told you many, many times, you got to work hard to go to hell. You've got to work at it. Because there is a salvation way for your life every step you take. The Lord has printed for you in your steps, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. Oh, you're complex. But God has so many ways of getting the word across, but you still must accept him on your own. You cannot make someone become a Christian. That individual comes under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit says, I want you to recognize that you are separated from your God, from your Savior. And once you recognize that, you say, I don't want to be. Lord, forgive me. And as soon as you say that, you're forgiven. Well, Jesus even said it more simply. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hey, but doesn't that tell you how hard-hearted an individual can get? Those that will lay back and curse God right on their deathbed? How separated? God says this is a journey for you. You are complex. Therefore, I've given you my spirit. Your spirit part of you is your God connection. That spirit in you is the real you. That's who you are for eternity. Now, what got in the way? The other parts of our human existence. God says, I've created... Well, let me read it. John 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is the truth of God. Truth is Jesus. I must worship him in spirit. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I therefore worship my Father through his Son who died on that cross for me. Therefore, this complex system that we call the human existence, God pays attention to us individually. The real you, Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. What? God is spirit. Therefore, we are the only ones created in the image of God of all his creation. God created man in his own image. You have a spirit. I have a spirit that connects direct to God. No one else will have what I have in that connection, what you have. No, folks, you're special to God. As an individual, you are special to God. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Therefore, remember something. God created the male and the female the way he wants them. The way he designed us. I don't care what you do in attempting to change your design of you, who you are. I want you to understand something. God created you male and female. That's it. Two genders. All the rest is by the will of man. Oh, let me tell you something. The will of man will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't you understand? You and I, when we gave our heart to Christ, we also gave him that human will. He powers us with a spiritual will. You're wanting to get more spiritual, but my goodness, think of the hard time you're having doing that. Your pastor has worked at it certainly ever since I was called to preach, going on 47 years, gosh. I haven't figured it out yet because the will of my flesh outweighs the will for me to seek to be more spiritual. And the battle goes on. You will fight that battle as long as you're in that body. That's why God gets excited at the death of a saint. He gets excited. God's going to get more excited with me and in my life when I close my eyes in death. God's excited. You know why? He gets to show me the Christmas present. He gets to show me real life. Like he planned it. He gets to let me know that all of you, all the believers, all my friends, yeah, we'll even know each other's name. Well, my goodness, you think you're having trouble with your memory lately? Oh, man, it gets rough, doesn't it? You don't have to be old for that, people. You get too much crammed in there. We are going to recognize each other, know each other. And here's your good one. You're going to know in heaven the people you didn't know on earth. We're going to be smart. Yep. I'm not going to reach that part on earth. But God gets excited over the death of a saint. Why? Because you're so complex. There's more to you than you know. And God loves every bit of you. God loves you who you are. And he says, David, I'm going to make you king. But Lord, I'm ornery and rotten, yes. But don't you dare call dirty what I have made clean. Amen. You all remember that. That was on the sheet coming down in the New Testament. But for David, it wasn't a sheet. It was a man after God's own heart. God said it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Brother Adney, I'm sanctified through and through. When you got sanctified by the Holy Spirit, he didn't halfway do it. I wasn't halfway washed and got cleaned up. I'm clean in the eyes of God. There's no such thing and cannot be in your life as a Christian as sin. He would say, there's no sin can enter the kingdom of heaven. It can't enter there. Jesus took it. Let us love him with a heart and respect enough to proclaim his truth. Salvation is of the Lord. Reach out to the world. Reach out to those around you. Let them know. I know they're suffering now. It's because they're complex. And it's that spirit burning inside, seeking to draw them closer. How are they going to learn about that spirit if we who have the spirit don't teach them? That's the human way. Sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, here it is, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, see how he separates them, be kept blameless. Woo! But when you said yes to Jesus, Brother Randy, you became blameless. And the prayer is this. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. You can't do it. You didn't make yourself blameless. Jesus did. Let's put the focus on the one who has changed our life, who has sanctified our life, who is watching over our life, walking with us through our life, as he says to you and me, wake up, look to me, for I am your glory. Look to me when you're hurting. I created you. I'm the one, says God, that decides when you're coming back to me. Now, why do we pray for each other? If what I'm teaching is true, and it is, then God, it's all in God's control. Why would I pray for someone? Have you heard people say, well, it was God's will. It was God's will. You and I seek to learn God's will, but you and I will never find God's will. God's will is in his heart. Therefore, you and I do foolish things and we die before our time over our own foolish actions. Drink, smoke, eat, peanut butter fudge, overdo it. You see what I mean? You can do that. Well, because of our foolishness and because of God's love for us, he said, pray you one for another. But if God's in control, he says, pray you one for another. That is you and me letting God know he is. We recognize that he is. He already knows it. Lord, if it is not your appointed time, I pray that you will deliver this brother or sister. God hears that prayer and God will answer. Pay attention. Listen to the Spirit inside you. For that Spirit is of God. Next, you will see the soul of man. Well, look at the soul on your chart. You can see it there. It's the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, your personality, your thinking, your reasoning, your beliefs, your attitude, your feelings, your emotions, your memories, your will, your choices that you make. That's the soul. That's the part that is functioning while your heart is beating and you're alive. But you, the spirit, the body, and the condition of the body has no control, cannot touch who you are, your spirit, the real you. You will remain that way. Therefore, the soul is your personality, will, and mind. Romans 8, 6 through 7. The mind of sinful man. Man, we're born in sin, people. We're a mess. We're born into a mess. God comes along, comes to us, sends his son, and his son came for a purpose of cleaning up the mess. And he says, when you call on me, I will be there. Lord, save me. Now, I know some preachers get upset with people like your pastor. But now listen, folks. I believe the Bible. And I believe when Jesus says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, that's the way it is. I'm not going to argue with it. And I'm not going to tell you to jump over a pew, crawl under a pew, do three this, four that, or six or seven something else, and you'll be saved. I'm going to tell you, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And yet, there's a world full of people that will not call on the name of the Lord, because they do not want that salvation. They want the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. Well, you and I continually battle, though, life. We continually battle our own mind. Within our own mind is at war with our spirit. And we're fighting that battle on the inside and condemning our fellow man who is in the same type of a battle when they slip and fall. And yet we have a Savior that says, you better get down in that ditch of life, Larry Vance. When that person is hurting, you get down there. God is the judge, not you or me, but you and I are complex. We are made up of that spirit. We are made up of that soul, the mind thinking, the inside, all the endocrine system. That's what it's all about, folks. We're made up that way. And God gives us a body next. But let me finish reading. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Now listen to this. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It's carnal. It's a created thing. Your mind is created. When your body dies, so does your brain. Some people act brain dead before the body dies. But it is your brain. It functions because of the act of the body. Now, Brother Randy, your body, my body, and everybody's body was given to us for one purpose: to live and follow God's love while on planet Earth. This is only good for down here on Earth. Don't need it in heaven. Can't use it in heaven. But I got news for you. Now, why, preacher, do you all get, you people die and you have that service for them, and then you go to the graveside and you have a committal service? Yes, I do. And I do it honoring the body. I've done many that I may not have honored the individual that's in that body, but I honor the God who created that body, and it's going back to the dust with honor. God gave it to man out of his honor, and it is to be honored and planted back to the dirt from which it came. Huh. Just like the beasties of the field, made of dust, and back we will go. But there's a difference. The beast go back to dirt, and to dirt they shall return. You and me, our spirit is automatically pulled from this human body before it sees the death. You can't see death, Christian. God said so. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. They can't see death. It's impossible. The real us, the spirit, is taken out. But God's plan is not broken because man decided to mess everything up in sin. Man didn't have to sin. Man chose to sin. So in that choice, bad choice, real bad choice. So man lives then in that body, which is sinful. And God promised me something and you something. When you say yes to me, then you leave this earth, your spirit will come to me automatically. I am sending the angels to carry you, the scripture says. Well, plural, it's two. Will carry you to the presence of God. Carries you through, well, space, that's another sermon. But it carries you right through where you're protected all the way to heaven to be with the Lord. And forever you shall be. But that wasn't the end. It says, as you saw the Son of God die, being buried, but then he came back to life, but he came back in a glorified body, the same kind of body you and I are going to get one day when Christ returns for the church. We're going to look good, people, because God has promised us we get to be like Jesus. So therefore, while in this body, I'm studying. Ain't going to happen while I'm in this body. Why? Because I'm in this body. But when Jesus raises the bodies of those who have gone on, our spirit, we're coming back. Woo-wee! I get to fly and I don't even have wings. We get to come back. Now, you don't become angels. Now, let's get that straight. No, you're a saint. There's nowhere in Scripture that says anything about you when you die becoming an angel. It's not true. You're a saint. You're becoming back down with the Lord. The graves are going to open up. And they're going to be some all good-looking people coming out of those graves. And you thought there was nothing but dead bones in there. No, my friends. My Savior says, I love you. The body is for functioning on earth. Colossians 1, 21, 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Oh, gosh, that's a human existence. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. I think I've been preaching on that, haven't I? That's how you were recognized, by the body that conquered the grave for us. Through death, to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Finally, there'll be no accuser for any of us. There'll be no accuser standing and say, God, I don't think you ought to receive him. That accuser is not going to be there. You're already accepted. And you were accepted because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. It's all on who Christ is. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When you all see me absent from the body, I want you to know that I'm present with the Lord. I will have been before you saw me absent from the body, probably, according to whether you picked me up in here or not. But here's the fact. I know it's a time to weep over those personalities that you see in the human body that are gone. But here's something good for you. Did you know that that body that's going to reappear and be glorified will look like you? We will still have those look. No two people look alike or ever have. God created everyone special. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the journey to go come and see how complex I really am. I can't get into a lot of depth of it like I'd love to, because that's to be done in a teaching class. But you all are in good shape. God put us in good shape, Brother Randy. And God tells us, you think you're in good shape now? You haven't seen anything yet. As I would have said as a kid, you ain't seen nothing yet. God's going to show us what we look like perfected. Not a hair out of place. Not one. Just like God creates us. We are God's child. And he said he will watch after us just like he did his son. I read the book. He pretty fond of his son. He watched. His son did what he came for. And his son, by doing that, guaranteed you and me to be with him. It don't get better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for life, for love, for your promises, for all, dear Lord God, that you give to all. We thank you, Father, for the hope, and thank you for making us so complex. Now help us, Father, to pray in that complexity and touch more lives through your love. For we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.